Welcome to the Solid Man Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Curry, licensed marriage and family therapist. SolidMan.com is an ongoing conversation designed to empower men to master the art of being a man.
Here we go on lesson number 9 of the Solid Man process. This comes out of Pillar 3, Living with Intention. This is group exercise number 9, and it's beginning to answer the question, who am I? Second question. First question we went through on the last couple episodes with where does life come from, or what is my source? This is lesson 9, who am I? This is about defeating shame. So lesson 9, shame, vulnerability, and secrets. So first quote here is from Brené Brown, which if you guys read any of her material or listen to her TED Talks, you're going to be doing great. She's got a lot of good stuff on this. Quote, if we can share our story with someone who responds with empathy and understanding, shame can't survive, unquote. And here's a quote from William Struthers. Quote, it's not the shouting of pornography that gives it so much power over men. It's the whispering of the lie, unquote. We're going to find a little bit more about how shame is the lie. The next three exercises address the question, who am I? This question reveals the process of discovering your identity, who you truly are. In our externally referenced life, we were living for the acceptance and by the expectations of others. We've lost our sense of self, who we really are. We've lost our true self, or maybe never have known our true self in the first place. Most of us live with our false self running the show. The false self is a false narrative of the true you, which you present to the world in order to be accepted. Since we lost our true identity, we have lost our integrity and our inner frame. In order to live a solid life, you must shed your false self, find out who you truly are, and begin to live your own life as you, your true self. A man must answer the second core question, who am I, in order to live a life of integrity. Core practice number 2 is remembering. We have all forgotten who we really are. Remembering helps you to rediscover your true identity and identify the true narrative of your life. As you develop the practice of remembering who you are, you will find out who you really are and settle the unanswered questions that have rattled around inside of you your whole life. You will discover that you are good enough and acceptable. Remembering requires that you recenter your identity on internal realities rather than from externals. This is the process of differentiation. Differentiation is an important concept here as you develop a solid sense of self. You will build it by answering the 5 questions and becoming whole. With this exercise, you will identify the false names that you have been living with your entire life, and then you will go through the process of finding your true name, which defines your true identity. You will develop your Maximus statement to carry with you your entire life. Understanding shame. Understanding shame and vulnerability is foundational to building integrity into your life. Carl Jung called shame the swampland of the soul. The path toward becoming the human that you want to be must go through that swamp. Shame is unavoidable if you want recovery, integrity, and life. You must face the fears that shame represents. Spend time to understand them and walk through them to the other side. This will most likely be one of the most courageous experiences of your life. Or it may just come out of desperation. That's good as well. Regardless, in this process, you will diminish shame. Shame. The root of shame plants itself deep into our identity. It would have us question our worth, value, and intuition. Shame spirals us into cycles of numbing, avoiding, silence, passivity, and fearful withdrawal from life. Shame drains our confidence and strength, taking us out like a sniper out of nowhere. The essence of shame is the inherent belief that something is wrong with you. You don't measure up, or you're not acceptable. Dr. Kirk Thompson says it this way: you are not enough. Shame and guilt usually are mentioned in the same sentence. However, they are worlds apart. Guilt is actually a good thing working on our behalf to lead us to maturity. Guilt is centered on our behavior. Now, this is a quote that comes from, This is a quote, I can't even remember the guy's name. I'm sorry. So guilt says I made a mistake. Shame says I am a mistake. So shame tells you that there's something deeply and profoundly wrong with you. Shame is a highly proportionate with addictive behaviors. Men who struggle with integrity in any form struggle with difficult, significant feelings of shame. Shame is the universal condition for all humans. We all have it in varying degrees. When we live in a cloud of shame, we never feel like we're good enough. Shame continues to tell us that we're unworthy of love and belonging. Remember, guilt says I made a mistake. It's about my behavior. Shame says I am a mistake. It's about my identity. Because we feel inadequate for love, we continually try to prove our worth or gain acceptability through being a nice guy, acquiescing and pleasing others. Shame is the main cause of the externally referenced life. We will do anything to try to fit in, since we believe something is wrong with us. We cannot be our true selves. So we wear a mask, or we lie, or do anything to have some kind of acceptance or belonging, but it all eventually crashes down. So in your life, what messages have you received that said you are a mistake? The petri dish of shame. Remember doing science experiments where you took a petri dish home and left it in some part of your house? You may have forgotten it, and your mom found it months later. It was a beautiful concoction of greens and browns and full of fuzz and ooze. Dr. Brené Brown says shame is like mold in a petri dish. It needs a certain environment in order to thrive. As mold needs warm, damp, undisturbed environment, shame thrives in isolation, secrecy, silence, and judgment. Those are the four horsemen of shame: isolation, secrecy, silence, and judgment. In order to gain strength and resilience against shame, you must break the bonds of the four horsemen of shame. In essence, you must do the opposite. For isolation, you must begin to build relationships with other men who are open to real, authentic conversations about life. To break secrecy, you must come out of hiding, shine light on your life, and actually tell safe men your story and your secrets. To beat silence, you must begin to use your voice and speak about who you are, what you want, and what makes you come alive. Judgment is crushed under the power of empathy. Place yourself with others who are willing to say, "Me too." Under these conditions, shame shrivels and creeps back from the shadows, from where it came. To gain integrity, we must crush the four horsemen of shame. There's one posture which will defeat shame every time. That's vulnerability. In what ways have you kept the four horsemen of shame thriving in your life? Vulnerability. Vulnerability is seen as weakness in our culture. Placing yourself in a position of risk where you are at the mercy of others is insanity to most men. Vulnerability is openness, transparency, and exposure. It's leaving yourself open to attack, being indefensible. At first glance, that's the last thing any man in our world would intentionally allow himself to be, is vulnerable. Contrary to that cultural viewpoint, vulnerability is one of our greatest allies in the quest for integrity, solidness, and healthy relationships. Vulnerability is actually a display of true strength and manhood. Vulnerability is a true strength, show of strength. A man who is unable to be vulnerable is actually showing weakness and fear. He believes he will die or be hurt if someone rejects his true self. A strong man can be open with himself, with courage and confidence, knowing he can withstand anything, even rejection or an attempt at shaming. I believe the most powerful action any man has ever taken in history was also the most vulnerable. That was Christ allowing himself to be crucified on the cross. The action of choosing to open yourself to potential harm of others seems like a pathway to death, but it actually opens you up to greater things in life. And vulnerability does feel like certain death. It feels like death because we think if we are exposed and people see the true me, then I will possibly be rejected. My external mask of self-protective walls will be seen for what they are. Even though this feels tragic, having our method of hiding exposed for what it is actually a gift that will open our lives to true meaning. Once we're able to begin to live from an authentic place, as we allow the truth of who we are to be seen, that's vulnerability, the opposite of our fears actually happen. We discover that good people around us actually want to be closer to us, and they actually enjoy being around us. And vulnerability is the pathway to intimacy. In your closest relationships, allowing yourself to be vulnerable results in relational closeness. Many of us have been closed off our entire lives because of shame and the belief that if I talk about inner struggles and experiences, I will be seen as less than or not enough. This belief has kept us from experiencing the depth that relationships have to offer. Remember, vulnerability is the antidote to shame. The more we show up in our lives and allow ourselves to be seen, the more we defeat the power that shame has held over us. We begin to actually see that we will not be rejected, but accepted and loved more than we ever knew possible. This exercise is designed for you to challenge the hold shame has had on your life. It will require you to open up to the men in your group and let them see some of the most shameful thoughts and experiences that you've had. Defeating shame will take courage. A side note, there are people in your life who are not safe. These are people who will use your vulnerability to advance your shame or to get you at a later date when you least expect it. They're not safe. It is important to know who these people are in your life and have strong boundaries with them. It's okay to be closed off to them. This is actually why it's difficult to be vulnerable with people who care about your heart. Since I've had unsafe people who have caused me pain, I am reluctant to open up to safe people around me. This is actually why it feels vulnerable. This is why it's a challenge with a ton of gravity. There's a lot to it. To defeat shame, you must open yourself up to others. So what obstacles in your life keep out vulnerability and transparency? And what could you do today that will open you up to vulnerability? I'd also ask, you know, what kind of people are in your life who are unsafe that you probably should set some strong boundaries, that you're not going to be vulnerable to them. The shame structure. There's something we all do to keep from being vulnerable. We build what's called the shame structure. It's supposed to keep us safe from abandonment. As we move through life, with shame having a strong influence on our lives, we naturally construct a personal system which keeps us from truly being seen for who we are, since we don't believe that we are acceptable as we are. We will hide behind masks built with accomplishments, material things, or just being a chameleon, just fitting in. One of the best illustrations of how someone builds a shame structure is the Wizard of Oz. Remember how Dorothy and her friend are met when they go into the lair of the wizard? They're met with a giant head, the mean look, the booming voice, the smoke and fire. And then Toto pulls back the curtain, and we just find out that the guy's just an old fart from Omaha, running the levers. Remember, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Remember all that stuff? It's just a big structure to make yourself look good. His structure is built so everyone sees what he wants them to see. The big head, the gears and lever are actually elaborate structures to be seen as great and powerful. Every one of us builds a similar structure to keep our true selves from being seen. We hide behind a curtain. Your structure may include figuring it out or getting it right, being smart, winning, getting good grades, dressing like a goth or whatever you might dress like, strong muscles, money, security, following a certain band, a political perspective, a religious perspective, having it all together, looking like you got it all, perfectionism. Looking good, dressing well, withdrawing, quietness, or being boisterous, or having the newest technology, or the nice things. Consider what things you have put into place during your life to keep yourself acceptable for belonging and protected from embarrassment or shame. Then, a significant part of your journey is to begin to dismantle that structure. You must identify all the major parts and then commit to do life differently, to begin to allow your true self to be seen and to get yourself out there. So, what are the major components of your shame structure? Remember the Wizard of Oz, the big head, the smoke, the levers, the curtain which hid him. We all got stuff just like that. And what could you do to begin to intentionally allow yourself to be seen? To open yourself up so other people can see the true you, especially in your closest relationships. That's a big deal. The inner critic. The questions about our identity taunt us like messages from a raspy voice demon. You suck, or you'll never amount to anything. Quitter, or idiot. Sometimes this inner critic voice actually sounds so clear and real. It's like someone talking directly to you. Who do you think you are? Most of us hear a voice that seems to be at the center of our shame experience. This voice can be direct or subtle. The voice can be called the inner critic or the voice of shame, or sometimes people call it the shame attendant. The shame attendant is as though you have a butler who's always with you to remind you of your mistakes and inadequacies. Well, look at that. There it is again. Sometimes people will identify that the voice is the voice of a certain person in their past. Your mom, your dad, maybe a grandpa, a bully, a coach, maybe that voice. Some other people just think it's the voice of the devil, who's been said to be called the accuser of the brethren. Makes total sense with that. So his voice seems real, and the spiritual battle for my soul is real. However the voice makes itself known in your life, it is important to recognize and identify the lies that are being said. If we believe the lies of the shame attendant, we will never be able to live in strength and confidence. You must learn to actually talk back to the voice. Tell it that it's lying to you. Tell it that you're not going to listen to it anymore. So what or who has the voice of shame sounded like to you? And in what ways have you been able to silence that voice? Disintegration. Shame has this ability to wrap you around the axle and totally paralyze you. What shame does is it causes your inner world turmoil. But not just turmoil, it completely disintegrates all of your inner resources. This entire program, the Solid Man program, is designed to bring you and other men into living lives of integration, where your inner resources are working well to guide you through a life of confidence and freedom. That's integration. But shame can disrupt your integrated self in a heartbeat, just like that. Shame throws all your internal resources into disarray. Disintegration shuts you down and locks you out. You may remember moments when you're caught off guard when someone asks you a question that you didn't know the answer to during a presentation. It could have been any other time when you were exposed as inadequate, or when, as a grown man, your mother says something that sends you into your childhood. It's like you're exposed, and so everything in you locks down. You lose your memory, your confidence, and you feel like a little kid, and you just want to run. When this happens, your memory, your identity, your heart, your soul, even your body seems to shut down. You're so frozen with the sudden exposure that as you try to talk through your cotton mouth, your mumbling seems like alien mutterings. Sometimes you pull through and gain composure, but the feeling is something we've all experienced. This is disintegration. It's as though your integrated self has been destroyed by a grenade. All your good parts are strewn all over the landscape. This is what shame does. It sends us flying head over heels. Often, it takes some good work to get your heart back. So when have you experienced the disintegration of your heart when the shame grenade went off? What have you done to get your heart back? And what works for you to get integrated again? Replicating fear. At the root of fear in the life of most people is the fear of abandonment or rejection. It's the fear of being outcast or never belonging. This is at the core of shame. Shame is an issue because every human wants to feel wanted, included, and loved. Shame communicates to you that you are not worthy of these things. As I've mentioned in other writings, this is what the idea of hell is. Hell is separation from God, separation from others, and separation from yourself. Whether you are religious or not, the idea of hell represents our greatest fear, and it's always hiding in the background. It is essential that we recognize this central fear so that we can navigate shame with wisdom and awareness. This is the most despicable aspect of shame. Shame will actually cause you to create the thing you fear the most. Shame will actually cause you to create the thing you fear the most. So here's how this works. It's a circle. We start with a fear of abandonment or rejection. Then we assess ourselves as not worthy. That's shame. Then, since we don't see ourselves as okay, we engage in relational behaviors that keep ourselves from truly being seen because we don't believe that we're good enough, which finally and eventually results in rejection or broken relationships, even abandonment. Our behaviors which keep us from being seen are hiding, withdrawal, silence, wearing a mask, or being a chameleon. We try to please others to try to make them like us. We will even compromise our moral compass and our sense of self to keep up the image that we are worthy of relationship. But since I'm not allowing my true self in these relationships, eventually this creates separation and my fears are realized. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. This is, like I said, a truly despicable aspect of shame. Shame is not your friend and will never put you on a good path. As nice as the shame attendant's voice may seem, it will always lead to difficulty and even destruction. Shame makes your fears come to life. We end up with that which we fear the most, abandonment. So in what ways have you lost your moral compass or even yourself by fear? Okay, so then in the chart here, I have it down, you know, that we start with shame, that I'm not enough. We go to fear of abandonment. We do the fearful hiding behaviors, which results in broken relationships, what then tells us that we're abandoned. And it's just this massive cycle. Horrible thing. Notice that we start with the feeling that something is wrong with me or that I'm not enough. When I think this, I believe that I'm not acceptable and we fear abandonment or being alone. So I hide or I live behind a mask and my true self is not seen. Then this results in broken or shallow relationships, and that's the equivalent of abandonment. It's a very sick and devious cycle that most of us rotate in and out of. To break this cycle, we must first believe that we are good enough, or just okay. Then, as we are more comfortable with being alone, we can engage in relationships as my true self. You can actually show up in your own life. When this happens, relationships are more likely to thrive. Sometimes your relationships don't thrive, but that is because you're cleaning out unhealthy people out of your life. People that don't accept you for who you are. People who are not real friends. So the more you are open and authentic to real, the more you are open, authentic, and real, often this results in their discomfort and the relationship may not last. So what is your greatest fear that you seem to continue to replicate or create a scenario of the self-fulfilling prophecy? And in what ways have you seen yourself replicating your fears? Defeating shame. Since shame is one of our primary enemies in becoming a solid man, it is essential to defeat its influence in your life. As long as there remains a sense that something is wrong with you, that you don't measure up, or that you are unacceptable, you will continue to plod along with a huge part of your life left unresolved. Resolving shame is a process, and you will never completely rid yourself of it, but you can diminish it greatly. Understand how shame has built its presence in your life. What does it look like? What forms has it taken? What is involved with my shame structure? Take the time to learn about your enemy and learn how it has taken you out of the game. Identify shame without self-condemnation or judgment. Notice it and then let it go. Shame wants you to dig deep into why it is there and how it works. That's just giving it the attention it wants, and so it can spiral you into its grip. All you need to do is just notice. There it is again, and move on. Don't give it attention. Give yourself time to move from knowing to believing. Andrew Bennett, a British politician, said, "The longest journey you will ever take is the 18 inches from your head to your heart." Unquote. This is that journey. You know what I'm saying about the fact that you actually do measure up and you're completely acceptable. You know it, but do you believe it? Do you believe it? Not yet. Continue to remind yourself of the truth every time that you find yourself self-criticizing or second-guessing yourself. Get your heart back each time, and eventually you'll begin to realize you've shifted your muscle memory to actually believing the truth. Allow yourself to be open and vulnerable with appropriate people. This is probably the most difficult part of defeating shame. Speaking about your story is profound in its power. You will be pulling back the curtain so people can see your inner world, the true you. It's like putting your guts out on the table. This is essential to tell your stories to your people, those people that are safe. You'll find that the healing begins to happen to all who are involved, the storyteller and the listeners. That is why this next section is so difficult but necessary. Have courage, be bold, defeat shame. How difficult has it been moving from knowing the truth about you to believing it? The secrets list. This may be one of the most difficult exercises that you will do in this group, and it's the most vulnerable. And since it's at the front end of your group experience, it will take tons of courage. Men who struggle with a lack of integrity are not honest men. The general rule of shame is this: if you really knew me, you would not accept me. So we isolate from others and continue to live in shame. In our isolation and shame, we collect a number of secrets that we hold inside. These are the things that we believe if people knew about, we would no longer be acceptable. Lies become overpowering and keep us locked in a prison of self-deceit and the loss of personal integrity. Breaking the bondage of hiding, secrecy, and lies requires that you remember, identify, and speak your secrets to others in a safe environment. This list will be difficult and take some time. Do what you need to do in order to remember, to pray for help, take time in silence, or whatever you need to do. This will require that you visit some very difficult places in your soul. Sometimes we have been told ourselves a distortion about a secret, and we begin to live and believe that distortion. It is time for the truth. Trust that the men will handle it well. It may feel daunting, but like always, take courage and be strong. List all the secrets that you have held in your life, even if you have revealed them to some of them to others. List any secret, no matter what it is, regardless of whether it has to do with sexuality or not. Some of the most powerful moments for men are when they reveal shameful secrets that they have held on to their entire lives. It's like a backpack full of bricks. These secrets may be lies you have told, things you have done, or things you have omitted to share that no one will ever know about. Your secret may be the fact that when you were 8, you shot an arrow into a dove nest and killed some chicks. You told no one, but you've been holding on to that your entire life. Or that you went to a strip club when you were on a business trip. Or that you may have fantasies about things that seem shameful, like women's shoes, or dogs, or other men. Maybe it's something you did with a neighbor kid. Or maybe it might be an omission, like I've never told anybody that I've struggled with. Blank. Every one of us has a list of things we have held. We believe that if anyone knew these things, I would not be accepted. Well, the opposite is true. So what does it feel like even to consider sharing some of these deeply held secrets? Make a commitment today to keep a posture of openness and vulnerability in your close, emotionally safe relationships. You'll learn about building your Mount Rushmore with good men in your life. Keep your commitment to be open with those men. Remember that shame thrives in secrecy, so be open and get it out into the open. Secrets are sharing some of the most vulnerable parts of your history with others. It's allowing yourself to be seen and known. It's essential to share your regular history as well with those close to you. Your experiences, accomplishments, times you overcame obstacles, things you like, things you dislike, are all parts of our history. Sharing your history is the path to being known. In any relationship, it's essential to share the significant parts of your story. Sometimes it's more difficult than sharing secrets because it opens up tender or sacred spaces in your life. Sharing these vulnerable parts of your history opens up any relationship to more connection. So now let's move into the this is the presentation. I'll just kind of read what it takes. So first starts with signing a commitment that says, I commit to eliminating shame in my life through openness, honesty, and vulnerability, and telling my story. And you'd sign on that line. So the presentation. Start with sharing some of your history. What have been some of your most influential experiences? When have you overcome obstacles or accomplished something? What was that like growing up for you? How has shame had an influence in your life? And then describe parts of your shame structure and what you can do now to break it down. And then comes the secret list. So if it has been a secret, list it here. And with each secret, tell who you've kept it from. And remember that you also find that your list may grow from week to week. And so update the men in your check-in if you remember some more secrets. Sometimes that happens where somebody will list a bunch of them and then you'll realize, I didn't tell this one. And so just be really brave with it and list your secrets. You could have 3, you can have 20, doesn't really matter. Whatever you've been carrying your entire life, you need to just get it off your shoulders. So how will you begin to live with openness, honesty, vulnerability in your life? In what ways have you changed with being closed and secretive in your life permanently? And so what was important to you as you went through this exercise? Got a couple books and resources. I Say Anything by Brené Brown. Daring Greatly, Gifts of Imperfection, Rising Strong are all books that speak to shame. She also has a couple TED Talks that are really good, and one on shame, one on vulnerability. And this has been written for a while, so she may have other things going on now. I know that she has a Netflix special as well, so that would be something to look for. Another book that's been very influential for me is called The Soul of Shame by Dr. Kurt Thompson. And it's a deeper look into shame from a Christian perspective. And Dr. Thompson gives some profound insight to the depth shame has on ourselves and our communities. He kind of takes it a bigger, kind of an expansive view of it. It's pretty interesting. And then the guy that I quoted earlier that I forgot his name was John Bradshaw. He's the one that said, guilt is I made a mistake, shame is I am a mistake. And so he comes from back in the 70s and 80s, and he has some older classic videos. You can find those on YouTube. And then his book is Defeating the Power of Shame, something like that, maybe. No, that's not right. Anyway, you could look it up, but he's got some great things, and his thoughts are as profound now as they were back then. So that is our work today. And as always, and I know this is a really tough journey with the defeating shame, but as always, stay solid, my friends.